Happy Sabbath. Excuse me. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord, is it not? I mean, where else could you be than at this place at this time? I can't think of a better place. I would like to welcome you, whether you've come from near or far or somewhere in between. God has a special blessing for you today. I'd like to welcome some family from Grant's Pass that are here visiting. We're so glad that you're here. I know you were welcome before, but I didn't get the chance to do so. So it's great to see friendly faces. And it's great to see how God takes care of his children. Didn't get a chance to speak last week, but we wanted to thank the church family for your graciousness towards us. You didn't know, but the gift that we received from the church family was a serving bowl that looked like a watermelon. What you didn't know is that my wife loves watermelon. And so it was like hand in glove and special gifts and poetry and hospitality beyond measure. We have been blessed, and we wanted to thank you. But we've come to this place to hear the word of the Lord. God has been with us all through the week. And maybe there was a piece of bread that we were able to nibble on. But today the Lord wants to give us a loaf, not just a piece of bread, because his children are hungry. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. Hungry for the word of God. Let us bow our heads. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, you whom angels adore, we desire to learn how to worship you as they worship you. We desire this morning, O Father, that your word be spoken and that it may find receptive hearts. Thank you, because by faith we know that it will. Speak to us, for your servants heareth. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I forget, there's Vespers at 6:30. God is doing something amazing in our church. I mean, my wife and I wouldn't have come here if that weren't the case. Might as well just stay home. But God is starting to continue to build on the good work that has been done previously, but now is a special time where God will do things that he's been waiting to do, not just in this church, but in this community as well. I'd like to draw your attention to the book of Genesis, where we had our scripture reading. Jacob, we know the story. His older brother comes to him. He comes home starving. And he asks his brother for some of his world-famous, award-winning, potluck-pleasing lentils. Nothing like a good bowl of lentils. Jacob says, you want my lentils? Well, it's going to cost you. Esau says, name your price. Jacob says, I want your birthright. And Esau's thinking that he's not losing too much. It's not much that's being invested or that he's departing with. But, oh, them lentils smell good. The birthright included not only possessions, but more importantly, it included a blessing from God that was special. And at times, we could be tempted to think that God's blessings aren't that important. But they are. Maybe it's not such a big deal. Who cares if I cut corners? Oh, it's a big deal. Who cares who I marry? That's a huge deal. Who cares if I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian? Oh, it's a big deal. Let me tell you, don't let somebody else get your blessing. Get your blessing. It has your name on it. I want my blessing. How about you? God has not forgotten you. The Bible says that he has our names on the palms of his hands. So I don't know what you've gone through this week, this month, this year, this life, but he has not forgotten you. He's a gracious God who loves his children. He loves to bless his children, and he's not in a shortage of blessings. We just need to make decisions where we're now in a position to be able to receive those blessings so that the blessing is actually just that, a blessing and not a curse. Esau says, "You got a deal, brother." Esau eats his lentils as Jacob is just waiting for the time when he gets his birthright. And the day finally arrives. Mom overhears Isaac talk to Esau about him wanting to grant him this blessing. And she proceeds to go to Jacob and coerce him to deceive his dad. She tells Jacob, go get the gold. I'll cook them. You put on the funny skins. I mean, your dad can't see anyway. A decision that cost Jacob more than what he bargained for. Did you know that in that chapter of his life, that was the last time Jacob would ever see his mom again? It's a big price to pay, if you ask me. Some of us can't wait to see our loved ones that have passed away. That's what Jacob faced. Jacob gets his blessing, but he gets it deceitfully. He lied to his dad about who he was. Esau gets word of what has occurred and can't wait to kill his brother as Jacob flees to Haran, where his uncle Laban lived. And Jacob is in an interesting situation. Not only has he deceived, not only has he lied, but that's what his name means. Every once in a while, somebody chooses to name their child Jacob, but I wonder if they really understand what that name means. Who here wants to call their child a liar? Anybody? I don't see a lot of hands going up. And I'll confess, I love my name, although my name is Tony. It's a derivative of Antonio, which is my legal name. But you know what my name means? That must be another Tony. It means priceless. So if you'd like, you can just call me Pastor MasterCard because it's priceless. True story. But back to our story. Hi, my name is Liar. What's your name? Everywhere he goes, he's known as a liar. Oh, here comes the liar. He later has a whole bunch of kids with four different women and ends up with a whole tribe of little liars. It's not only what his name is, it's not only his reputation, but you fast forward the story and Jacob's boys lie to their dad about their brother Joseph. Lies, lies, and some more lies, and life just became one big lie. But Jacob finally ends up in Haran, and right before meeting Uncle Laban and his daughters, he has a life-changing experience. He finds a comfy pillow that wasn't that comfy. Dreams about a ladder that reach towards heaven and also was able to descend and reach down towards earth. And angels would go up and down this ladder. And Jacob now meets who this ladder represents. Let's pick up the story in Genesis chapter 28. Hopefully you brought your Bibles. If not, there should be one in the pew in front of you, or it's probably on your phone. Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 to 15. The Bible says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Could you imagine meeting Jesus? I don't know about you, but that's a great thought. He's the one who has led all who have gone before us. He led Abraham, Isaac, Moses, Joshua, David, Daniel, and me, maybe even your God-fearing parent. Jesus tells Jacob, "You don't have to run anymore. There is a way out." Almost as if Jesus was telling him, "I am the way. I'm not the lie, I'm the truth. And if you're with me, now you will actually have a life worth living." Jacob started out by running away from his brother, and without realizing it, he also started running away from God as he lied to his dad. Some of us are running away from our spouses without realizing that we're also running away from God in the process. You see, if I have an issue in my marriage, I not just have an issue with my spouse. Now I also have an issue with my God. And if I have an issue with my God, I also have an issue with my spouse. Because my Bible tells me that he who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So where do you suppose we get this love? Oh, that's right. From God himself. Isn't that what happens with us? We get ourselves into a mess, and then we do everything we can to get out of this mess as we fail to realize that we've run away from God. And once we realize this, we either come to Jesus or we just keep on going as we get ourselves into another mess. And let me tell you, it doesn't take a lot to get into a mess. And there's even some messes in this room right now. Some of us are in a mess, we don't even know it. Mess? What mess? And today Jesus tells us, you don't have to run anymore. We don't have to run anymore. Because the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The one who runs is the devil. The one who's with Christ stands tall. On Christ the solid rock I stand. You see, this ladder is Jesus. This ladder not only gets me to heaven, Acts 4 verse 12 says, there is There is no salvation under any other name by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus. Jesus is the only ladder. You can go to Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, you name it, and they don't have ladders that go that high. I need a big ladder because heaven is pretty high up there. You see, this ladder took our place. This ladder died so that we may have a choice to either accept Christ or deny him. This ladder has some steps in it. That's like where we go up. And today we need to come to Jesus and take bigger steps of faith than we've taken previously. As Jesus has this, as Jacob has this encounter with Jesus, he realizes where he's at. You want to know where he's at? He's at 1109 Northwest Garden Valley Boulevard, Roseburg, Oregon, 97471. You recognize that address? Well, you should, because that's where we're at. That's the address of our church. Jacob realizes that the place where he spoke with God is none other than the house of God. And he gets that the house of God, according to the Bible, is the gate of heaven. That's exactly the reason why Satan works so hard to make sure that we, one, don't step foot in church, and two, much less go to heaven. For the house of God is the gate of heaven, as Jesus is the one who connects the two. Is it any coincidence that sometimes we have World War III at home before we try to get out of the house and go to church on Sabbath morning? Mercy. Unreal. Everything that can go wrong does go wrong. Where you start thinking, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it to church today because I want to kill that person. Phew. Jacob now takes his comfy pillow and uses it to build an altar, pours some oil on it, and gives this place a name, and a very appropriate name. He calls it, in English we say Bethel, but more appropriate would be Beth-El, which means house of God. Jacob pours this oil as the Holy Spirit has been leading him. And I got some good news for you, church family. The Holy Spirit is leading you. If that weren't the case, you wouldn't be here this morning. Jacob now comes to church. And he realizes that God wants to have a relationship with him. As he sees the goodness of the Lord, has the Lord been good to you? Better believe he's been good to you. At every stage of our lives, God has been good. I remember right before the new year started, I was on the treadmill, and I heard a news report that said what the top New Year's resolution was. And you probably already know what it was. And it was to have better health, to get in shape. And I thought to myself, you know, that's all fine and dandy. And I believe in taking care of the temple. And I try to. But if that's my first concern, man, life is empty. Because my Bible tells me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And some of these things will be added unto us. Oh, that's right. It's all of these things will be added unto us. How about a news article that said our top priority for this year is getting closer to Jesus? How about our top priority is heeding the Spirit of God and to walk in his ways? As Jacob sees God's goodness, he sees God's faithfulness, his generosity, the grace of God. Now Jacob responds with his own faithfulness and says, 10%, bam, I return it with joy. Let me tell you,
When people start coming to the Lord, the first thing they do is they go to their pocketbooks. And the opposite is also true. When I start getting cold in my walk with Jesus, the first thing to go is my pocketbook. Jacob got the memo. He understood God is so good. I have all these things because he's granted it to me. The least I could do is this. We fast forward in the story, and the little liar gets lied to by his uncle as the morning after his honeymoon started wasn't too exciting, as he too was deceived. You see, his name kept on following him. I made a mess at home. Now I'm here. I don't have one wife. I got four, and this is a huge mess. When are the messes gonna stop? Have you ever felt this way? You see, our messes need to stop. My messes need to stop. Your messes, our messes need to stop. Jacob longed to make his wrong right. He had waited for 20 years for something to happen. He labored for 20 years, suffered for 20 years, until he not only realized that he needed to make his wrongs right with his brother, but he actually did it. And that's huge. We can know that we need to do the right thing, but actually doing the right thing is two different things. We are a prophetic people. Part of this means that we not only believe the prophecies, it also means we find our identity in the prophecies, but we also follow the prophecies and proclaim them to hasten its fulfillments. And I'll take that a step further. As a prophetic people, we believe that we are living in what day? The Day of Atonement. The antitypical Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement in Bible times were very, very solemn moments in the Jewish calendar. Leviticus 23, verse 26 and on, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God." This was a time in which the children of Israel humbled themselves and afflicted their souls as they sought the Lord in repentance. This was the one time in the calendar year in which the high priest entered the most holy place to atone for the sins of the people and to judge the people. We believe that Jesus, our high priest, entered the most holy place in 1844 to intercede on our behalf, amen? And to atone for our sins and also judge his people. Since this is true, what kind of activities should we be involved in? I have a suggestion. How about acts of repentance? I think that's a good suggestion. Where we turn to God more than we ever have and repent. Don't you think now would be a great time to do that? I think so too. Jacob's repentance is a reminder of what you and I need to be doing now. Not tomorrow, today. Not next year, today. And you might be thinking, well, what's gotten into Pastor Tony? What's the big deal of whether or not I need to repent today? Well, for starters, today could be our last day. I joke with people. I tell them, you know what? I do funerals for a living. And there's some truth to that statement, sadly. But part of my issue is, do you know what comes next after this time of judging and an antitypical Day of Atonement has concluded? And if you tell me what comes next is potluck, I will hurt you. Even if potluck does come next. Let's see what the Bible says. Genesis 32. Genesis 32, verses 22 and on. The Bible says, Genesis 32, 22 and on, "And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel, and as he passed, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Jacob wrestles all night with God until the breaking of the day. The Lord is ready to head back on up to heaven, but Jacob just wouldn't let Jesus go." How beautiful is that? Jacob would almost prefer to die than letting go of Jesus. Isn't that what we face when we're tempted? The same dilemma. Are we holding on to Jesus? Jesus gets us through the night. Jesus gets us through the darkness. In fact, the Bible refers to this time as Jacob's night. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. Don't worry, we're okay. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. The Bible says, talking about what comes next, which is something that Jacob experienced. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, the Bible says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be what? Saved out of it." The Bible talks about Jacob's trouble, and what we just finished reading about what Jacob experienced was Jacob's night of wrestling with the Lord. How does this apply to you and I today? Jacob's wrestling with the Lord is what comes next. That's also known as the time of trouble. Spirit of Prophecy says this: "Jacob's experience during that night of wrestling and anguish represents the trial through which the people of God must pass through before Christ's second coming. When Christ shall cease his work as mediator in man's behalf, this time of trouble will begin. Then the case of every soul will have been decided, and there will be no atoning blood to cleanse from sin. Such will be the experience of God's people in their final struggle with the powers of evil. God will test their faith, their perseverance, their confidence in his power. Satan will endeavor to terrify them with the thought that their sins have been too great to receive pardon. As they review their lives, their hopes will sink. But remembering God's mercy and their own sincere repentance, they will plead his promises. Their faith will not fail because their prayers are not immediately answered. The language of their souls will be, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Going through the time of trouble isn't about your strength nor my strength. It's about his strength and trusting his promises. That was taken from Eternity Past, page 131. And one last quote. Let no one despair of gaining victory. Victory is sure when self is surrendered to God. End quote. Manuscript releases number 2, 1903. What comes next after Jesus concludes his intercessory work in the most holy place is the time of trouble. That's the sequence we find in Revelation 13, 14, and 15. And since this is the case, the time to hold on to Jesus is now. The time to let go of my sin is now. You see, when I hold on to Jesus, I automatically let go of sin. I can't hold on to both at the same time. Something's got to give. Don't you want to hold on to him more? I'm so glad that God sends his blessings on the just and the unjust. Because there's been times that I've been unjust. How about you? But he sure does make it rain even abundantly more on the just. I've come to learn that my messes stop when I hold on to Jesus and let go of sin. Jacob leaves a different man. You see, Jacob used to walk really, really, really fast. Why? Because there was a whole bunch of people chasing him. But now he can't even run. In fact, he's a limping man. Kind of like a little reminder of what happened. Doesn't God do that with us? He reminds us of where we've been so that it keeps us in tune with him. Something happens before Jacob has his 12th child. 12 in the Bible is a number of completeness. God tells Jacob, you need to go back to a certain place. It's a good place, I tell you. And it's a place where the messes have no power over you. You need to go back to Bethel. Jacob was fully aware of not only where Bethel was, but more importantly, he knew what happens there, the house of God. And the last time he was there, he had a dream about Jesus. He not only dreamed about Jesus, he got to talk to Jesus. And Jesus talked with him, and they had a conversation. You see, this is what Bethel is all about. It's the place where I meet Jesus. It's a place where I talk to Jesus. In fact, it's the best place to be. Jesus said that mine house shall be called an house of prayer. Talking with Jesus. Isn't that what prayer is? God tells Jacob, you got to go to Bethel. You need to go to the place where you and I can be together, where we can talk, and that's my house. God's house, the house of God. Jacob had already made things right with man, specifically his brother. Now Jacob wants to make things right, not only with he himself, but now Jacob wants to make sure that things are right between his family and God. You see, church family, we're starting a journey that includes you and I being where we need to be with God. But it doesn't stop there. It includes our marriages being where we need to be with God. It includes that our families be where they need to be with God. Because that's true evangelism, where Jesus is working in my life, and now all I can do is talk about Jesus. Look at what Jacob tells his family in Genesis 35. Genesis 35, verse 2 and on. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise, and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, which that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Jacob tells his family, foreign gods, they got to go. And you know, we can make anything a god. It's just what we give it importance, time, and priority more than God. Jacob tells his family, purification needs to happen, and we need to confess our sins to God. He tells them we need different threads, because this stuff is not clean. But there is someone who does have clean threads, and his name is Jesus. We need the righteousness of Christ. In this process, they get rid of some stuff. They got rid of the idols. They got rid of the jewelries. You see, we don't need the idols if we got Jesus. If we don't have Jesus, guess what? We might just be needing the idols in our minds. When we have Jesus, we don't need anything else to try to make ourselves look good. Why? Because Jesus makes us look good. They get rid of their stuff and they head out to Bethel. The Bible says that the terror of God was upon the cities as Jacob and his family went through. Let me tell you, when we're walking with Jesus, other people know about it. Oh, yeah. Other people stop messing with us. Why? Because we walk with Jesus. There's times back when we were pastoring in San Jose that I have to walk through a whole bunch of gangbangers, wasn't sure if I'd be coming back, and the waters part. It doesn't matter what was in their possession. Times in which there were crooks and murderers in the church, and God protected his children. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. Jacob not only gets his family ready to be in God's presence, but he brings them into God's presence, and he builds an altar to worship God. You see, it's time to not just have thoughts about worshiping God. It's time to worship God. It's not time to just think, oh, we should have family worship. It's time to lovingly and humbly lead into family worship. Jacob worships God, and God proceeds to do something in Jacob's life that he's been waiting his whole life for. He changes his name. Genesis 35, verse 10, the Bible says, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. You know what Israel means? It means God prevails. Aren't we spiritual Israel? Will God prevail? You better believe it. When we come to God, when we trust God, when we repent and let go of our sins, now God prevails in our lives. before coming to Bethel, the house of God, the place where we meet Jesus, guess what? I'm a deceiver. I'm a liar, walking with my head down, expecting the worst in life, because at the end of the day, that's what I deserve for my actions anyway. But now I come home to Bethel. I come to Jesus. I hold on to Jesus, a name of victory, a name of hope, a name of freedom, a name worth having, and a life worth living. So much so, and in verse 11, the Bible says, "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." You see, when I'm with Jesus, evangelism happens. Be fruitful and multiply. Jacob finally met the one who is so bright he makes the sun look dark. Jesus. When we just arrived into Grants Pass, I'd been going to a barber. And this barber I'd been going to for at least 6 months. And people who work with hair, they typically know your business. Why? Because they talk about this, that, and ask questions, and you know, your stylist knows who you are. Your barber knows who you are. But I was going to this guy, 6 months had passed, and he didn't know me from Adam. And I said, "Lord, I believe everywhere you send me is so that I can tell them about Jesus. This guy doesn't even know about my name, much less about Jesus, at least me telling him. He may have known from other sources. But I say, God, can you send me to somewhere where I can talk to them about Jesus?" So I got online, used Yelp. That's some social media referring site. And I checked out this one barbershop that was open at the right time, good price. And I said, "Lord, if that's where you want me to go, I'll go." So I go there. And in 2 minutes, this guy knows my life story. And he tells me that he loves watching Better Life TV. He loves hearing Kenneth Cox preach. And I start telling him about Jesus. This guy starts attending church, him and his wife. And God is working in their lives little by little. He tells me, and this is not about me, this is about God. He says, "My life changed when you walked through the door." You see, wherever we go, other people's lives need to start changing. Not because we're trying to change them, but because we've been with Jesus so much, it's natural. In the church, we have people who become our family. Not because we're related to them, genetically speaking, but we become family through the blood of Jesus. One of these people, for me, when I was growing up, she was like my sister. She was older than me. We'd go to church 1 week, and the next week, she was gone. No one knows where she's at. She left home at 16 to live on the streets of New York City. That's where home was for me. She got married at the age of 18, and one of my last memories with her was being at prayer meeting, of which prayer meeting's a place to be at. I don't know what you're doing Wednesdays at 7 p.m., but I invite you to come to prayer meeting. My recollection of her and I being at prayer meeting was us being mischievous and making sure that we didn't pay attention. She ran away because stuff was happening at her home. And it didn't sit too good with her. As she ran away from her family, guess who else she ran away from? From God. During her second marriage, she found herself living in Arizona, And she was drawn back to church. And she can't say that it was someone who invited her to come back to church, but she started to thinking about those times in which she would sit Sabbath afternoon in church and remember the peace that she used to feel being at that place. You see, all her life without knowing it, she had been looking for this peace, a peace that only God can give, the peace of being with God in his house. How do I know about all these details of her life? Well, for 26 years, I didn't know a thing about her. I searched for her, prayed for her, not knowing she was still alive. And lo and behold, one day, I find someone on Facebook that looks a lot like her. And sure enough, it was. I spoke with her on the phone for the very first time a little over a year ago as my wife and I were driving back from California. I had actually sent her an email to ask her for a favor. She just didn't know what the favor was. And she said, "What's the favor?" And I said, "Could you tell me your story? What happened?" She said, "You know what? I don't want to type this out, but I'm willing to share with you on the phone." And I told her the reason why I wanted to hear the story is because I needed to share it in a sermon. She said, "Tony, there isn't one word of my life that deserves being shared in any sermon." She had gone through so much, been in such ugly situations that those around her would tell her, "People like you don't belong in places like these." Of all the dangers that she went through, she even legally changed her name because it was safer that way. And so when I saw her account on Facebook, I had some questions whether or not that was really her, because she goes by a different name. But you know, I know her real name. You want to know what her name is? Bethel. What a name. The very thing she's been looking for her whole life was right before her eyes. It's her own identity. What she was needing was the house of God. What she was needing was Jesus. Her days had been filled with hearing sermons online and not even going to church. At that time, my sister Bethel had not come home just yet. She would think about going to church. She would think about coming to Jesus, but it just stopped there, and her family members would remind her of her grievous sins. But you know what? I'd like to say that Bethel's situation is limited to her, but it's not. You see, this thing about coming to Jesus is personal to me. This story is about my sister in Christ who needed to come back to Jesus. But guess what? I have a whole lot more brothers and sisters in Christ before me here today. As we finished our conversation, she was so blessed to see what God had done in my life after being some snot-nosed kid in the Upper West Side of Manhattan going to church together. The first time I preached this sermon at Grants Pass, she heard the sermon live as they were live streaming. And before I made it to the foyer after the service, she sent me a text. She said, "It wasn't a wonderful sermon. You made me cry. I'm so sorry I disappeared for so long. I promised to continue to seek, to study, and to return to the house of my Lord and Savior." I praise God for what he did in Bethel's life. But there could be a Bethel here today. Someone who is here, but yet you're not where you need to be with God. You know who God is. You know the stories. You know the right things to say. but yet Jesus is here and you're here. And today, he's inviting you to come home. To come to the place where you find peace. To come to the place where you find hope and a different identity from the person you used to be. If that's you, you have a decision to make. This invitation is for someone who has strayed, whether or not they're in their Christian garb or not. Is there someone here who needs to come home? If that's you, don't wait till tomorrow. Come. If that's you, don't hesitate. If that's you, make your decision now. Praise God. I don't think Mark's the only one who needs to come home. Is there somebody else who needs to come home? Is it you? Come. Come. Praise the Lord. There could be someone here who also needs to make a decision for baptism or even rebaptism. I'd like to invite that invitation, give you that invitation as well. Is there someone here who'd like to be baptized or even rebaptized? I'd like to invite you to come as well. Come. God is inviting you to come home. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Who else needs to make their mind up? Come. Praise God. Church, I know you're praying. Hearts are being touched right now. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Today is your day of salvation. Don't let it go by. Who else needs to come to God? Who else needs to make a decision for baptism or even rebaptism? I invite you to come forward. Let us pray. Father, I thank you because you've given us this invitation to come home, to come to the house of God, to start talking to you in ways we've never thought possible because you so desire to commune with us. I ask, O God, that you will bless those who have made these decisions to move forward and to have a new start. I pray that you bless those who have made a decision for baptism and that they may move forward by faith. Keep them and bless them, O Lord. Thank you for being here and thank you for preparing a home for us in heaven. Bless your children in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who answered the call, please stay by right here. I'd like to pray with you after our worship service. But I'd like to invite you to stand, church family, as we sing our closing hymn. 301, Nearer, Still Nearer.
Yeah.
Father, you've spoken to our hearts this morning, and we too make the commitment that we've just finished singing about. We don't want to be far from you. There's pain when there's distance between us and you. We want to be ever closer than we ever have been previously. We ask that you bless this church, Father. You are doing mighty things, and mighty things you will continue to do as we commune with you. Father, bless those who have made decisions for baptism. Bless those who are still wrestling of whether or not to make this decision. May your Spirit convict their hearts. Thank you, because today in Christ, we have the best name of all. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.